I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to King of the Road. It's been a while. I'm so sorry that I haven't been doing these as regularly as I hoped. It just hasn't happened, but we're back now and we're back with a vengeance. And as I'm sure you'll be delighted to hear, I'm joined this week by the one and only Charlie the Hurricane Skillen. Charlie, thank you for coming on.
You're putting a lot of faith in me there, that the audience are going to be delighted.
No, you are. You are the source of a lot of people's delight.
Oh,
it's who you are.
And mine, especially. No, in real life, unfortunately.
No, mine especially. And Victoria, my wife, she's always very happy to hear you on. Charlie, there's only one place to start this week.
Oh, do we have to?
I think we have to. I don't want to, but I think we have to. And it has to be the post-mortem after what happened against Bournemouth.
Oh, it was so depressing, Raw. It really was. I mean, Bournemouth absolutely tore us apart. They tore our defence apart. We didn't know what we were doing. There was no organisation, no leadership. I feel like, I love Antonio Conte to death, but I feel like that whole relationship has with the club and the players, the club top to bottom, it's just gone sour, it's gone rotten, and something needs to be done.
And what is that something? Sorry, I didn't say anything there, but I have nothing to say. What is that thing?
I don't want Conte to go, but I just wish someone with an idea at that club would put some thought into the long-term planning of it and put some thought and realise that, I mean, I'm sure they already have realised that we're not at football's top table when it comes to getting transfers in, or when it comes to, you know, a sustainable long-term project, because, you know, you look at what other clubs are doing and we're just nowhere near. And I think a lot of players have to look at themselves. If Conte, like, Conte will go, be it at the end of the season, be it if we lose against Watford, be it if we get spanked against Barcelona, as I'm fearing will happen as the days go on. And I don't know why. I don't know why he wasn't backed. The new manager will come in. Maybe we'll win the league again and everyone think Luis Enrique is amazing and we'll all have Luis Enrique tattoos. And then he'll go. Because yeah.
Well, this is it. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Because we get rid of managers and it works. Like, what you can't say. We go to Wembley every other year. We win the league very regularly. We've won the league more in the last decade than any other club.
We have.
And therefore, this system that is employed by Abramovich, it works. Because the alternative is a system that's employed by, say, Arsenal, where they persevere with the manager. Mm. They haven't won the league for over a decade. They've won a few FA Cups, but they did have a really barren spell for a decade.
They did.
So that's the other way, and that way doesn't suit me either.
No, I get that. It's just so frustrating when you can see where the club should be and where it falls down. I mean, this sort of boom and bust thing, it's no good long term, and it's just, for me, this group of players will now have the nucleus of this group of players will now have got two Chelsea managers sacked. And I think that's when early in the Abramovich era, when we were chopping and changing managers so much, we had such a core of world-class leaders.
That's the thing.
Every person in that team was an international captain.
Yeah, you can chop and change a team all you like, and you can chop and change a manager all you like, when the spine of the team are Ashley Cole, John Terry, Frank Lampard, Didier Drogba.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter who's in charge. You can chop it about, hope for the best, and invariably, the best will.
Absolutely. Hence us reaching the Champions League final in inverted commas, under Avram Grant.
Yeah.
Nonsense. You know, it was led by a group of strong personalities in the dressing room. You know, I love Roberto Di Matteo to death. But, and all these players have spoken about Di Matteo and spoken about how much he brought them together after what was a very fractious relationship under Villas Boas. But, you know, you've only got to look at Di Matteo's career before and since to know that that was the exception rather than the norm.
Yes.
And that obviously all those players have moved on, which is always going to happen. But the quality, and second, and this is I think most important, the character, the leadership, the complete unacceptance of other players not being at that level is nowhere to be seen at the minute.
It's so depressing, isn't it? Leaving the ground against Bournemouth.
Oh,
it just was so grim, wasn't it? And do you know what, actually? It was reminiscent of, it kind of reminded me of when I was a kid, going to Chelsea and being beaten by a very average team.
Yeah.
And the question that I'm going to ask you, and the question that I actually want to ask you, watching both on YouTube, and if you're listening on the podcast, tweet me, the most depressed you have ever been at leaving a football stadium. Can you pinpoint... I've got one that just stands out. Obviously, there's been lots and lots of troughs following Chelsea, especially when I was a kid. And there were lots of moments when I was really heartbroken leaving the stadium. Is there anything that stands out for you? When have you walked away from either Stamford Bridge or following Chelsea away from home and just been heartbroken?
It's always... It's ridiculous to say Arsenal last week. I mean, I was fuming and I was fuming for days. And to be honest, when I walked into work after the Bournemouth game, like... It's not often people are scared of me, Raw. You know, I'm not a very scary person.
You're quite an intimidating man.
Yeah, well, that, yeah.
Because a lot of people, the people watching on YouTube here will understand that that's not the case. But the people listening on the podcast.
If they haven't seen me.
Charlie's 6'4" and ripped. He's a hunk of a man. They'll never know.
Yeah, when I was on Tinder, that's what my profile actually said. And the other thing that's funny is before, when we first started doing videos together, people thought I was 6'4" just because I was next to you. People were like, oh, I saw you today. I thought you were taller.
Smaller in real life, aren't you?
All famous people are.
Nobody's ever said that to me. Two sentences that have never applied to me. One is, I thought you were taller in real life.
Yeah.
The other is, mind your head. Those signs, wherever you are, if you're walking down to a toilet in a pub, then go down the stairs, mind your head.
Never.
I couldn't jump an headbutt.
You're sick of the limbo, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I win the limbo every time.
What are we talking about? Oh, God, yeah.
Most depressed you've ever been. So I go, do you need the moment?
Yeah, I think I do. Go on.
Do you know, I've got a few. I've got one from when I was a kid that I can remember as if it were yesterday. I can remember being in the old West Stand at Stamford Bridge when Chelsea played Newcastle at home in the FA Cup. We were 1-0 up, and the FA Cup was a holy grail. Newcastle finished second that year.
We hadn't won it in 97 by then.
Exactly. I was so excited about the FA Cup, and we were 1-0 up with minutes to go. Dimitri Karim kicked the ball. It's incredible how well I can remember this moment because I can't really remember what we were up to this time last week. But... I can remember this so vividly. Dimitri Karin kicks the ball out, kicks it straight onto the head of Philippe Albert.
Yeah.
Philippe Albert, playing central midfield for Newcastle, cushion headers it into the path of Les Ferdinand, who scores. Game finishes 1-1, and I was completely heartbroken because I didn't think we had a hope in hell of winning that game. I didn't see a way. Eventually, actually, we went back up to St James's Park. I think the game finished 2-2. And Eddie Newton scored a winning penalty.
I think that was our last successful penalty shootout until Munich.
Really?
Yeah. But we lost so many.
I was so upset. I was very young at the time, you know. I was a child. I was there with my stepdad. And I think I got the tickets as a Christmas present.
Right.
Completely heartbroken, in tears. Like that upset by it. Mm. And sort of never recovered. a more recent memory, do you know where I felt really low? I remember coming out of Stamford Bridge and just thinking, this is bad.
Yeah.
Rafael Benitez was manager, great anyway. And we lost to QPR at home. Sean Wright Phillips.
And all your mates.
I've got a lot of mates who are QPR fans. Sean Wright Phillips scored a winner for them from about 30 yards out. Rafael Benitez was manager.
Oh, that was horrid.
The game ended. It was midweek.
Yeah.
Game ended. I just remember sitting in that ground.
He belted it right.
Looking around as it. I just thought, where did it all go wrong?
This is nonsense, yeah.
We were European. Like, we'd won a European Cup. What?
The year before.
Exactly. What happened? So that was low. Have you got one for this?
Yeah. I've got a few. As my idol, Rod Stewart, suggests, the first cut is the deepest. And I think, I remember the year when we never got enough credit for being so close to the league, the year United won the treble in 99, I was 9 years old that year. And we finally sort of, we couldn't win the league once Steve Guppy scored at the end for Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester, yeah.
That was 2-2. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was bad.
I was thinking it's very spoiled to say your worst day was losing a final. But yeah. It's true. It's terrible. Yeah. I mean, losing the 2008 League Cup finals to Tottenham, that took me a while to get over. I mean,
it's one of the Jonathan Woodgate header.
Yeah. But there's a certain number of games that I've never seen back. I've never seen back a minute of that game since I left the ground. I've never seen back a minute of Moscow,
no.
Which was heartbreaking.
Do you know, for that game against Tottenham, the League Cup, I didn't have a ticket.
Right.
I can't remember what was going on. I've no idea why, but I didn't have a ticket for the game. Neither did a friend of someone you know as well. We both went up to Wembley hoping for the best. A lad who grew up in a flat, so the estate I grew up in isn't a million miles away from Wembley. A lad I knew was working on the turnstile. Bunked us both in.
Unlike you to have a massive touch.
Let us both in the same. And do you know where I ended up? I didn't have a clue. Didn't know where to sit or anything. Mm. I bumped into Rima in the stadium.
Yeah.
And Rima's a girl who follows Chelsea, sort of known her for years as well. Ended up like, Rima, budge up. So she'd spent, I don't know, 80 quid on a really nice seat.
Yeah, yeah.
She only
it's
had
got
half,
you in it.
Half of her cheek on the seat. my arse on the other half of the seat. She had, nice. Yeah, really, really unfortunate for her.
That was a terrible day.
That was a terrible day.
It's funny you say about Benitez. I remember when they sacked Di Matteo, who was like, I think, one of Chelsea's all-time heroes. When they sacked Di Matteo and brought in Benitez, that almost hurt me more than any game. And that.
Do you remember the first game against Man City?
Oh, that was brutal, wasn't it?
Brutal.
I think they were shocked about the. And I was
the
I was,
severity of it.
And
yeah,
I was very, very proud of the way.
Yes.
The fans reacted to that, and that kind of last two thirds of that
Brentford.
Season. That was terrible.
Brentford.
Wasn't it? I've never seen one person get so much abuse. It's great fun.
The way that it works, at Griffin Park, the home the. Managerial dugouts are on the other side of the tunnel.
Past.
So a manager has no option but to cross the entire pitch in front of the away supporters. Mm. Rafael Benitez had to make that voyage without a Sherpa, and I don't know if anyone has ever got so much abuse.
No,
I think there's
no.
quite a good clip of it, actually.
Yeah, there is.
On YouTube.
There is.
I
watch
grim,
it most
grim
days.
Viewing.
But and to be honest, the last two thirds of that season, for me, that was my worst ever time following Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because the mood
there
around
was
the club.
There were some really good moments.
Amsterdam was amazing.
Amsterdam was.
Villa
Park.
I can remember of it anyway.
Wasn't Villa Park?
Lampard,
Villa Park
under
Benitez.
Yeah.
So there were some highlights.
There were, but I just think the mood around the club. And that was, that for me, that was almost as bad, if not worse, than two seasons ago or whatever it was when we finished 11th, and it was really, really bad.
Yeah, that was no good. We should make this slightly
happier.
Nicer, slightly happier.
Cheer up.
Let's talk about the end of the transfer window.
Oh, not sure that's going to do it. I'm actually really pleased with Giroud. I've seen him on Twitter. A lot of people are.
I don't think you pronounce a D. I think it's
Giroud.
Giroud.
Oh,
you need to.
At the risk of sounding like a horrible little Englander, I'll pronounce it however the hell I want.
I don't think you can. I think you have to not pronounce the D.
Giroud.
Do you know my favourite?
Mate, I can't.
My favourite,
I cannot
my favourite Chelsea fans. These genuinely my favourite people who have either my accent or a broader London accent. But when they talk about players' names, they go really foreign and it really makes me laugh. Like, my favourite are people who pronounce Hazard, but they don't pronounce either the H or the D.
Hazard.
Yeah, Yeah, they leave the H and the D off of Hazard.
Yeah, it's just Hazard.
Yeah.
It's...
They're like, yeah, well, mate, I think if you had a blinding game, oh, Hazard.
Hazard, he was mastered, wasn't he?
Yeah, it really, really does make me laugh. Oh. And it's always somebody who commits to it.
Who you
wouldn't think would.
Takes his Aquascutum coat off and starts going, Hazard.
It's really funny. But no, I'm convinced that Giroud isn't.
Yeah, go on. Really?
Giroud.
What, one thing's for certain is we do now have the best-looking team in the Premier League.
Best-looking strike force?
Marcus Alonso?
I mean, we're a good-looking team all over, but I think the strike forces are... That's the zenith of our look.
Yeah, you know, sort of the zenith of the human form.
Yeah, they are two very, very handsome. The trouble is, we're quite handsome, but then there's huge anomalies.
Yeah, we got Courtois dragging us down.
Yeah, you got Courtois not covering us in glory on that department. Yeah.
Best looking fans as well.
Do you know we were officially the best looking?
Is that because they were?
Hang on, wait. I think I've got that wrong. I think we might actually be the worst looking.
No, that's absolutely nonsense.
No, we're either the best looking or the worst looking. A fact that honestly,
I'm going to go with best.
Yeah, for the purposes of this, we're definitely going with that. I can't remember what the article was though. But yeah, we are a very handsome attack.
Marcus Alonso, I think.
Marcus Alonso is.
As for Laquetta, I think in the sort of in the way that you'd go on holiday and he'd try and nick your missus.
I don't know if he's got that in him. I think
he's a bit too nice for that.
He's very nice, but he strikes me as being a very nice bloke. Yeah. Mm. I can remember him, like, he always wants to do the right thing. And when people were celebrating Lampard's goal on the pitch at Villa Park, he was shepherding people off it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of became a steward for the moment.
He could have got a clump for that, couldn't he?
He's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
We're good looking, but not crucially, sort of as important as being that good looking.
Yeah.
Are they good at football? Do you think that's a good front line that we have now at our disposal? Giroud and Morata.
I think it's an upgrade on Morata and Batshuayi. And I got a load of abuse for saying that on Twitter. I think that's inarguable. Batshuayi, I think, had improved in the last month or so when he was given a bit of game time. And I think when we were linked with people like Carroll and Crouch and Ashley Barnes and Emil Heskey and whoever else it was... then I could kind of come around to the fact we're like, so we just keep Batshuayi then if it's going to be if it's going to be this bunch of wallies.
Giroud's better than Batshuayi, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The guy, you know, that is without question in my mind. I had to argue this point to people. The guy scored 100 goals for Arsenal. He's a proven Premier League goal scorer. He's done it on the big stage. He's done it in a good team.
He plays for France.
He's France's number 9 ahead of Lacazette, ironically.
Benzema not getting that team.
Well, no, he's a bit naughty, isn't he? It's all a bit sex-tapey, legally.
Right,
shouldn't talk about unless we want this to be taken off the air.
God, I'm just now going through the French centre-forward position. They've also got Mbappe at their disposal.
They play Mbappe on one wing, Griezmann on the other.
Mbappe on one wing, Griezmann on the other. Doesn't really matter what Giroud gets up to, does it?
They call me Charlie Skillern and put me up front.
See, that was good. It's amazing that you say Charlie Skillern better in French than you do Olivier Giroud.
Olivier Giroud.
So, yeah, we're happy with Giroud.
I am. I think he's an upgrade on Batshuayi. He is. He's a more proven player than Batshuayi. Morata is getting on my nerves, I must say. He's injured at the minute. I'm hoping that when he comes back, he's firing on full cylinders and we see the player that we saw taking the absolute mickey out of Stoke and scoring headers against David De Gea, not the player from the 2.5 months after that when he couldn't actually kick the ball.
Can't stand up.
He's not very good at standing up. The issue I have with him is he is the antithesis of Diego Costa.
Yes.
Who will happily elbow someone in the throat if he thought it was going to get him a goal.
Yeah. I think that you have to be like that as a centre-forward, don't you? Yeah. You have to be ruthless enough. It doesn't matter how it ends up in the back of the net. If you end up in there along with the centre half, along with the keeper, all bundled up, all in agony,
as long as the ball's there,
but the ball
as well,
also crosses the line.
Happy days.
Yeah, Morata's never scoring a goal like that.
No, and the one thing I'll say about Giroud is
better.
Thanks, mate. It frustrates me that we're scrabbling around for the basement bargains rather than why are we not splashing out on Aubameyang? Why are we not... Why are we... Having Alexis Sanchez at the club, I mean, clearly once Man United get involved, you're probably going to lose out. But this ludicrous story that we were somehow in for him is nonsense.
Yeah.
And the fact that Chelsea didn't move heaven and earth to make that happen is indicative of where the club is now.
Well, do you know what else like really drives this point home? Mm. What Manchester City got up to.
Precisely.
You think Leroy Sané picks up a knock.
Yeah.
They think, they're bearing in mind they're 15 points clear at the top of the league. Leroy Sané gets injured. They think, right, Riyad Mahrez, let's go and buy him.
Yeah.
They did their best to make that happen. 15 points clear at the top of the league. You go to Spain and buy the most sought-after defender. You spend 60 million quid on him. What? We're just so far away from that.
Well, we are. I mean, look at every single one of the other top six sides, or the other five of the top six. United obviously got Sanchez. City got Laporte. Arsenal have completely revolutionised their team with Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan.
It's a good front line they've got there now, Arsenal.
It is. I'm interested to see how they juggle Mkhitaryan and Ozil too, because I think they're very, very similar players.
And also Lacazette and Aubameyang.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, it's better than our attack now.
Oh, it's far better than our attack. Yeah. But the trouble is, they have a wonderful front four, but you can't play them as a front four.
No. I think it's Lacazette who loses out.
You could play them as a front four. That would be a good. They could play the formation 4-2-4.
Yeah, I'm not
with
sure.
Xhaka and that's Wilshere.
That's where you run into problems.
Xhaka and Wilshere protecting the.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Protecting nothing.
But they'd outscore teams.
But even like Liverpool made Virgil van Dijk the most expensive defender of all time. And even Tottenham got in, not someone that's going to revolutionise the Premier League, but a very good player from PSG for 25 million. And yeah, so Tottenham a lot less so, but I mean, we're not pulling up any trees, and I
you know, is that a saying?
Yeah, we're not pulling up
trees.
Yes.
What's that mean?
We're nothing to write home about.
Agreed, but we're not pulling up trees. You just made a saying up.
I didn't.
That isn't a thing.
When we stop recording, we'll go and Google it.
That isn't a thing, though. I don't need to. We're not pulling up trees.
Yeah, we're not pulling up any trees.
You've just made something up. This is going out to tens of people. I don't think you can. I don't think you should be making up sayings. Do you want to change it? And I'll let you change it, and I'll edit it out. No, so you're happy to leave this in there? Yeah, you look a moron.
We're not pulling up any trees.
Okay.
Please do tweet Rory and tell him he's being a wally.
We're not pulling up trees isn't a saying. But we'll leave that there. I'll tell you what is pulling up trees.
Go on.
Three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. You seen it?
About lumberjacks, is it?
Have you seen that film?
I really want to. The trailer looks amazing. I gather that you've seen it.
I did see it. Go on. I tweeted about it. I made friends with strangers in both Finland and the United States of America talking about it. Yeah, because I came into work. I saw it on Monday night.
Right.
Went with Victoria. Finished late. Went home, went to bed. Woke up the next morning, still on my mind. I went to the gym. Victoria didn't have a chance to have the conversation with her. Came to work, walked into the office, didn't care how anybody's weekend went, just said, who wants to talk to me about three billboards? Nobody.
I imagine, so, I see a lot of you, and it's one of my the favourite aspects of my life. But I imagine working with you every day is like
torture.
It's like having
torture.
It's like having a child that permanently needs to be played with.
Yeah, agreed.
Talk to me about this film now.
Agreed. I'm forever. Do you know whose case I'm on for that?
Who?
Adam Boltwood.
Yeah, I imagine he's got little time for that.
He's like my nanny. Yeah, I basically demand that he comes either to lunch.
Yeah.
Or to play me at darts. We've got a dartboard.
Have you?
Yeah.
Can we play after this?
We can absolutely play. I take it very seriously.
I used to be in a darts league, I'll have you know.
You don't strike me as a good darts player.
I used to be. In fact, if I can call it a sporting achievement, if I may, I think probably the finest sporting achievement in my life.
What, are you good at darts?
Is getting a 180 in a competitive game.
What, you hit three treble 20s?
Rory knows his darts, doesn't he? Yes, I did.
Is that the only
one? I did, in a Swindon league match. I did. I used to play in a league in Swindon. It was in my gap year. You know how on gap years most people go and like find themselves in Indonesia.
You played darts in Swindon.
I played darts in Swindon.
I played darts at work, and if I go pop over for a coffee,
do you do any work at work, or do you just choose where to go for coffee and play darts?
In between darts. Film reviews and stuff. Yeah, but effectively, nobody wanted to play with me.
I'm sorry.
Or
mate.
Talk about the film with me. So I found people on. I basically hashtagged. I found a hashtag and I started replying to strangers' tweets about the film.
But the film itself,
grim,
looks really exciting. It's meant to be very, very dark.
Very dark. Oh, she's got to like she Frances McDormand, who plays the lead actress in it, has got to win an Oscar.
Well, the other person that's nominated, he's one of my favourite actors because first saw him in Cheers, which is one of my favourite sitcoms of all time.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson.
He was at the bridge. Ledge. He was at the bridge recently.
He's a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, he's mates with Johnny Vaughan. He goes to football.
Which makes me love him even more. Obviously,
yeah. No, he's incredible in it. Actually, It was just brilliant.
I do really need to see it because I saw the trailer before the last film I saw, which is less dark, but it's a lot of fun and it's see Molly's Game.
No,
it's very, very good. It's about a girl who was destined for the Olympic skiing. But she broke her leg and then worked her way up to run the highest stakes poker game in LA.
Who's in it?
Ooh, you put me on the spot there.
Where do I see it?
At the Pictures.
At the Pictures? Yeah. So it's not a Netflixer?
No. It's very much out now. It's, you know the geezer who wrote The West Wing? Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
It's his directorial debut.
You're having a nightmare with people's surnames today.
You're like, how do you say that?
Having a nightmare throughout. You're making up sayings.
How do you say that fella's name?
No, I don't think you've. I don't think you've got it bad. I don't think you've done it wrong. But you
Aaron Sorkin.
You sort of italicised.
Well, I was sort of. Obviously, this is
the
not
thing. Is, what you did was you doubted yourself before you said it. You've either got to go all out and just like say it like you mean it, or don't say it. What you did was you paused as if I was. You kind of suggested you were going to make a mistake with your intonation.
Oh no!
And then you did.
Well, the thing. This isn't going to come across well on the podcast, but I sort of looked at you for approval, like, am I getting this geezer's name right? And I sort of went, Sorkin? Yeah. What was it? It's Aaron Sorkin. Anyway, it's that fella. I'm trying to tell you an interesting fact here, and it's his directing debut, and it's very, very good. There's lots of flashbacks, and it's very, very murky, and it's...
Is it out of the moment?
Very much so.
My new thing that Victoria and I do, once a month...
Go on.
No matter what, it has to happen. Once a month, we go to the cinema. Once a month, so in each month, we will definitely go to the cinema once and the theatre once.
Theatre's very good for me. We try and go...
We had a chat about your theatre.
Yeah, when we were planning
this. You're like a child. You're like a child. You like going to see the musicals and that. We were talking about what plays you've seen recently. Charlie went, I've seen The Lion King, Avenue Q, I've seen Book of Mormon. This is the life of it's effectively what either a 19-year-old tourist from Chicago would do when they come to London, or a child.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you want to see Aladdin?
I've never seen Aladdin. I didn't say that.
But you would go and see Aladdin.
I'm not sure I like the song. I must admit that the film, the play that I do really want to see, is the Motown Story.
So a musical.
Yeah, absolutely. But some of the best musicals of all time, though. Smokey Robinson, Temptations, Marvin Gaye.
I mean, I get it. I really like the Jersey Boys. But if somebody were trying
The Jersey Boys is very good.
But if somebody were trying to have a cerebral chat about the different theatre that they're into and what they've seen recently,
yeah,
like that isn't it.
No,
like, it's
no,
not
no.
what's just come out of the Young Vic, is it? It's not like Ivo Van Hove's new play.
No, like, I can't go into a dinner party conversation about plays.
No, like what's on at the Donmar recently?
And I'll be going, oh, I don't know, but when they done Walk Like a Man, it was brilliant. Wasn't it? It's not going to happen.
Right. So, but my new thing, cinema, no matter what.
It's such a dear night, the cinema.
Well,
you know,
interesting that you say that.
Why?
I have a loophole. I'm not going into it on here, actually. This is a bad idea. But I have a loophole.
Does the gaffer of you listen to this, does it?
It involves the everyman.
Very nice.
But it's a loophole that...
Second only to the Electric cinema in my heart.
Yeah, although the Electric is far from my house. Well, it's far from my house in as much as it's like 2.5 miles from my house.
You do well to get this man outside of a mile
radius. I do my best not to leave. Yeah, I do my best not to leave the Borough of Camden. If it's in the Borough of Camden, I'm there. But
yeah, well, Electric cinema's fairly close to me, isn't it? So it is a nice evening. But yeah, no, I've been trying to go to cinema a lot more. Well, what's your loophole? Are you not telling?
I couldn't possibly. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Right.
Okay. And as we established on already, we know how big and strong.
You can have a go, mate. But no, I'm hit with the first shot.
But I am convinced that Three Billboards should win an Oscar. But do you know who else could win an Oscar?
No.
Did you ever see a film called Cass? It's about Cass Pennant, the West Ham football hooligan.
I know who Cass Pennant is. I know the film. I've done my very, very best to avoid it.
Really? It has some wonderful actors in it.
Because my friend Rory Jennings makes up one of the cast members. And to be honest, I must admit, I haven't seen it, but the thing I do like about it is every time we play West Ham, because obviously Rory plays a West Ham fan in this film, someone tweets him a picture of him in a carrot and blue scarf and go, oh, who's we supporting today? Tonight?
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
Chelsea, maybe, because I'm a Chelsea fan and that was for the purpose of that film.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the lad who I was in that film with, who's like a really lovely fellow, also from the Borough of Camden.
Yep.
He's an Arsenal fan though. A guy called Dan Kaluuya. I reckon he's about 28, 29.
Yeah. Good age.
He has just been nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, that depressed me. I'm 28. I've been nominated for nothing.
I reckon that if we did some sort of an award ceremony, maybe at the end of season, the Chelsea, the CFC Fan TV crew...
The top three.
Yeah, but we could put Olivia in it to make it slightly... So you'd win...
I'm not sure I'd get in the top three then.
No, actually, probably wouldn't. Do you know what we should do? Just put a poll on Twitter or something. Who's your favourite?
Oh, yeah.
Me and you are definitely losing that poll.
Absolutely.
Olivia and Sophie flying along at the top.
Yeah, we'll say only girls can vote.
Is that going to change anything? Is that going to make us more popular? Are we more popular among girls?
All the girls that watch our channel.
I don't know. We wouldn't do well. But my mate, a bloke from practically my street,
it's incredible,
could be about to win an Oscar.
Do you think when he wins, he's going to mention you?
I think he should.
Yeah, playing
I think he should. If anything, I think he should dedicate it to me.
Probably.
But so do I think he will? Probably.
Well, hang on. What's he in first?
He has been nominated. Why are you looking? You're looking at me funny.
No, I'm not. Go on.
You are. You're looking at me.
I'm excited.
Very
I'm excited.
Been,
someone you
he's
know.
Been nominated for the film Get Out.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, Charlie.
So, well, yeah,
you've got to be more cultured. To be the man that you want to be, you need to be more cultured. You should adopt my New Year's resolution. Cinema once a month, theatre once a month, no matter what. No matter what's going on in your life, have to go.
Yeah. I do want to go and see Hamilton because that's coming.
Stop with the musical stuff. And it's not in the West End. It's round the corner from where we're currently sitting. It's in Victoria.
Whatever. It's in the theatre, isn't it? Anyway,
Dan Kaluuya's been nominated for Leading Male. And I'm over the moon for him, and I really hope he wins it.
Good luck.
And I'm telling you this story just to highlight where we are in our life.
Oh, please don't. Please don't.
But no, that's...
You should get him on the podcast.
I will. I think he lives in LA now, but...
You can phone in.
You could phone in. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, that'd be a great...
If you're listening to this, tweet
if you've won an Oscar, you can come on.
Maybe that should be the new criteria for guests.
Yeah.
Nominees.
Yeah.
Have you been nominated for any awards? Like, you know, you work in the press. Have you been nominated for like Scoop of the Year?
I did win Young Journalist of the Year at the Daily Mail a couple of years ago.
Young Journalist of the Year? Did you have the afro when you won that? Is there a picture of you with the Cook's haircut?
No, it was only a couple of years ago. I mean,
did you have the curly?
I must have done. I would have thought.
Did you get a trophy?
Yeah, I got a little trophy. Because it was in the top room of a pub, so I then put some beer in my trophy and drank out the trophy.
Love it. I like it. What a perfect note to wrap this up. Charlie, thank you so much for coming on.
No worries,
this podcast is back. I promise. This is going to be a weekly podcast at least, depending on how many people enjoy it. We could even go bi-weekly. Charlie, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you coming on. And we will see you all next week for another installment of King of the Road. Thank you so much for listening. Until then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.